915 to H-Town, from the Panhandle Plains to the Valley, and everywhere in between. This is the 50-50 Podcast, powered by College Promoters USA. Join me, Hector Cano, as we cover the Texas high school club and college soccer landscape, along with an inside look at the college soccer recruiting scene. The 50-50 Podcast is a platform about the people and for the people who are dedicated to the beautiful game. Here we go. It's another edition of the 50-50 Podcast presented by our proud partners, powered by College Promoters USA. College Promoters USA, America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. Located locally here in San Antonio, Texas. For those of you local, you can find them in the Ventura Plaza Shopping Center, which is on 1604, right between Stone Oak and Blanco Road. You can also find more information from them, via their website at collegepromotersusa.com, as well as on social media on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA. My next guest, he is a personal friend of mine, someone who I've befriended over the years. Kind of interesting how we got to meet. Really good stuff. And I'm grateful to finally have him on the podcast and be able to highlight a lot of the great things, special things he's doing up in the Hill Country, up at Fredericksburg High School. He is the head varsity women's soccer coach at Fredericksburg High School, Coach Logan Minshew. Coach, how are you?
Awesome. How are you doing today?
I can't complain. I get to badger you with questions for, I don't know, maybe the next 45 minutes to an hour, right? So we'll see how you're holding up at the end. I'll ask you, how are you doing today after this? How about that?
Yeah, no.
No, we're grateful. I'm excited for the challenge. Yeah, we're grateful to have you here. Appreciate it. Kind of been a long time coming and kind of glad to be. I know we were talking a little bit right before the start of the interview. I'm glad to be able to kind of sit down, have this conversation with you. So thank you for being here. So let's dive right in, Coach. Give us a little bit more. You know, we got our listeners across the state, across different regions here within the state. People that may not know much in terms of Fredericksburg High School and Coach Logan Minshew. Give us a little bit on your background, maybe a little bit of background on Fredericksburg, the high school, the school, your program, and how did you arrive at Fredericksburg?
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so I was just kind of sharing with you briefly. I actually got into coaching at a very young age. Our senior year of high school, a good friend of mine and I had to either pick up trash or find some other volunteer activity for National Honor Society. And so we were like, man, let's have fun with this. We love soccer. We're playing for our high school team. And so we volunteered and started coaching. And we coached a U-12 team. We entered it in saying we're going to make sure these guys have fun and we're going to teach fundamentals and we're not going to go in and just teach them how to win at that age. We're going to teach them how to play the game right. Unfortunately, it wasn't a ton of fun as far as the wins and losses were concerned. We went winless. But the cool thing from that was that the kids learned how to play and they actually won their division the next year. We had moved on to college at that time, but it was exciting to stay with those kids. And one of those young men who I trained to be a goalkeeper went on to play collegiate goalkeeper. And he's actually now coaching at a junior college in East Texas. So it's exciting to see that even from that young time back in high school that we were able to kind of positively impact others' lives and just from playing this awesome game and sharing our love with this game with other people. And so back in 2010, my wife had an opportunity to come home. She's from Fredericksburg. And so we jumped on it and came out here. I contacted both the boys and the girls coach and just said, hey, here's my experience. Here's my resume. I'd love to just help out. Going from a larger school to a smaller school, they didn't have a lot of resources out here. And so they were happy that I came and volunteered for a few years. And then when the girls coach stepped down to retire, I was given an opportunity. They said, there's, you know, one hurdle. You got to get your bus license. And I said, that's not a hurdle, man. That's not a problem. I want to be able to coach and help this community. And so got that done as soon as possible and have been rocking and rolling ever since, really. So.
Yeah. And that's kind of a relatively unique situation, at least at the high school level. Not very many coaches start, I guess, volunteering for, and you volunteered, correct me if I'm wrong, that was for 4 years there before you actually transitioned, right? Wow. That is definitely unique on the, you know, on the Texas high school soccer circuit, as far as you'll see it sometimes maybe for a year, especially what, as you know, maybe certain coaches or coaches in waiting are, they're wrapping up certification, but for 4 years, that kind of speaks volumes in terms of to your character and your heart being in the right place. So, 2012, you transition over after extensive volunteer experience. Was that a seamless transition? Tell us a little bit about that start in 2012.
So, you know, we have a little bit different style or different approach. And the hardest part for me was transitioning from the boys side to the girls side. There's a lot of similarities, but some of the personalities were just a little bit different and how I needed to approach things. And the team had kind of been fractured because of, for lack of a better term, kind of the old school coaching that they were receiving. And so we had to kind of come together and build up and change a negative attitude and culture to something a little more positive, and have the girls, instead of playing more individual style, play a more team style. You know, we have a few really quality players that have come through this program. But in the end, you know, it's about getting 11 to play as one. And so that was probably the biggest challenge, is figuring out, how do I let the girls know that I have extremely high expectations, and in the same sense, provide them the support and encouragement that they need to grow together and to become really a family. And that's kind of what I wanted it to turn around. Instead of it being a soccer program, I wanted it to be a soccer family. And that was the goal from the start.
And that's a perfect transition to my next question, Coach. So, I guess to cut through a lot of it is, how did you do that? How did you go about having to, you clearly understood what you wanted to do, but how did you go about that in terms of your philosophy and that culture? How did you actually find yourself? What was needed? What were maybe the first couple of steps to implement that?
You know, I think step one is how I live my life, is you have to establish trust. And, you know, I'm open, honest. I never want to hurt any individual. That's not my mantra. That's not what I'm about. I'm about us all building each other up. And so, but I also know that sometimes you have to have some tough and honest conversations. And so, right. I know that first year, though, the young ladies, since I had been able to volunteer with them and kind of coach them through their sub varsity years, we had established that trust, and that was the number one step. And then from there, they laid everything out on the line. And so once the trust was there, the next thing was saying, again, you have to provide this level of sacrifice for us to elevate this program, for us to grow together. We all have to work harder than what we've ever worked before. And the young ladies were willing to do that and so much more. And so that's where the foundation, where I was able to kind of give it some guidance. Truly, the foundation was laid by the sacrifice and the sweat and the tears that the young ladies put in that first year, and took us further in the playoffs than they'd ever been. And so that right there just established such a solid foundation for us to continue to build on. And that success made others say, hey, maybe it doesn't have to be the way it's always been. Maybe we can start to grow together and change and be more positive with each other. So I'd say those were probably the first two steps, and it wasn't really even soccer related. It was just more relationship related as far as that was concerned. So nice. after that, I was going to say, though, it became soccer related in the fact that we had to allow them to work on their skills, but also have fun. And most of the community played soccer at a rec level. until about age 12, 13, 14. Then they would go off to middle school and just play volleyball, basketball, and softball, and soccer was gone. And so I got my friends, Coach Barnes, who was coaching collegiately, and Coach Glick, who was working with Stisa, to come out here, and we started doing summer camps and having fun with the kids. And we kind of started to build a bridge to keep those kids involved and keep them excited about soccer. So step one, trust, relationships. Then it was about adding the soccer component.
Got it. And, you know, we met, I believe, I want to say first year. So that first, the first annual tournament, which we'll speak to more a little bit later, your tournament, I think that was 2015, I believe. Is that correct?
So yes.
We met, yes. Yeah. We met in the leading up to the 2015-2016 season. And I remember there when we played in your, like I said, the first season of your tournament, first annual tournament there. And I remember even then where your program was to now, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of the success from last year. So it's been a joy to watch, because I know, and offline, you and I have spoken a lot in terms of the hurdles that we've both experienced, what we're up against, what we're experiencing, kind of picking each other's brain a little bit as, hey, what do you think about this? Thoughts on that? So it's been great to see, to be able to witness along the way. And I know, and full disclosure, we played in your tournament for multiple years, and we have been, and we'll be excited to return next year, but,
for sure.
But, talk a little bit about maybe, so for example, we transition here and it's easy to look at from 2012 to where you are now, but do you recall maybe a particular set of moments or a kind of turning point in a particular season where you noticed that change was really occurring in the program, where it was now starting to transition to being maybe a little bit more player led and less coach led?
Mm-hmm. You know, I think I really feel like it's been a gradual shift and change. I know that I've tried to always empower the girls and let them know that I'm unfortunately not the one that gets to play the game. When we hit the weight room, I'm not the one that gets to lift the weights. And you know, when it comes to conditioning, it doesn't matter how quickly I can run 2 miles, or you know, how in shape I am. They have to get out and they have to play the game. And so I want to really say that even after that first year, it really was about trying to provide them more and more freedom to push themselves in this program. And, you know, it's kind of like to steal another coach's philosophy or example, it's kind of like when we're in a boat, you know, I mean, the girls are the engine, you know, they're powering it. And I'm really just, as the captain, I'm just steering it, you know? And so the success that we're having is definitely from the girls. I would say that, I think again, laying that foundation, getting the girls to continue to play, was probably, one of the biggest factors, and probably maybe 4 years ago was the first group that played. So that's when they finally got to the high school and had never stopped playing. Prior to that, girls would play until about fourth or fifth grade and then quit, and then we would have to kind of come back and work on those skills. But this year's seniors have been those that really, through the growth of club and rec out here, have been able to continue to play soccer and not have to have those gaps that have to be filled later on through our practices.
Yeah. That's interesting. That's just one more little way in which you can really see changing the program, right? Where now, now you have a whole group that has continued to play all the way through. So that's great. That's saying a lot. And that's really what part of our significant piece of our role, right, is growing the game and teaching them to not just teaching the game, but teaching them to foster that love for the game. So yeah, absolutely. So talk to us a little bit more for some of our coaches that might be in more of outside of your traditional big markets, maybe. Fredericksburg there, you're right in the heart of the Hill Country, kind of situated there between Austin and San Antonio, if you will, a little bit closer to Austin, north of San Antonio. But for our coaches that might be in some of those more rural areas, in terms of something that you've experienced, tell us a little bit more about the Fredericksburg area, the market, what you've encountered, what you felt. I guess speak to those coaches in the rural areas maybe as to certain things to consider in being able to build and then ultimately sustain a program such as you have.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, I think sometimes when you look at something that's a challenge, it's also a blessing. So I get out here and there's no really established club system in Fredericksburg. 20 miles down the road in Kerrville, those guys really worked together. There's quite a few people that had tried to bond together, and our boys program had actually had some success from that club. But I kind of thought back to my time in more of metropolitan areas and how there was a lot of, I don't want to even say infighting, but I mean infighting and just where there's multiple clubs, there's a lot of tendency to lose focus on the game itself. And they start to focus on, focus solely on the marketing or solely on the money and not on the player development and not on the players. And so coming out here with there was nothing, you didn't have to worry about, if I do this, is this going to make this club mad? Or if I do this, is this going to make this club upset? And nobody's trying to poach a player by saying, hey, you're going to get a better opportunity if you play for our club. And those type of things, they didn't exist because there was no club here. And so, again, where that was a blessing, it was also a challenge because we had to figure out a way to get our kids to play because we were at a disadvantage from, let's say, Wimberley, where students have or kids have the option to go play Lone Star in Austin or go play for anyone in any of those surrounding communities that are a little bit larger. So when you get rural, I think that's probably the biggest issue is figuring out how to keep them playing. And you've got to either get community support. We still don't have fields here in Fredericksburg, or you've got to figure out something that could work close. And so that's where the partnership with Kerrville was kind of established. And then a really, really positive parent who's a positive community member, Dan Kemp, a vice president at our local Security State Bank. His girls wanted to play soccer. And so then he busted his tail to kind of get a club here in Fredericksburg and then eventually merged Fredericksburg and Kerrville's clubs together. And so, again, now you've got two rural communities working together and pooling resources. And that's a huge benefit to us. And I've seen a lot of high schools and clubs fight each other and things. And that's where I've never had that approach. I've just said, hey, different situations are better for different people. I'm about kids learning this game and playing this game. And so I would love for them to play for me. I would love to win. That's fun and exciting. And, but if they need to go a different path, I understand that. And so, we've tried really hard to make sure that we keep a very functional relationship between the high school and the small club that's now continuing to grow out here.
So last year, you know, you play in a very, very tough district, I should say, 26-4A. Talk to us a little bit. You know, you look at last year, third place finish behind Bernie and Wimberley. So that's saying a lot in itself. But, you know, third place finish and excuse me. And you make a run to the, I believe it was the regional quarterfinal where, of course, you ran into the district foe, Wimberley. talk to us a little bit about last season and maybe, and also the strength of your district and some of the challenges, but also that, you know, the competitive spirit there within the district.
Yeah. So, it's just another really exciting thing. I've told people a lot of times, you know, I don't want to take the easy path, and we're definitely not given the easy path. I know that in the Dallas area for women's soccer is probably one of the stronger areas in the state. But I want to say for our region, you know, the San Antonio, even Valley area, at our classification, we have the toughest district in the state with Bernie, Wimberley, Comal Canyon Lake. We've now added Comal Davenport, and Bandera and ourselves. And what's a testament to that is when the coaches get together and vote every year, we normally have five of our teams in the top 10 of the region, and only four of us can make the playoffs, you know? And so, you know, I mean, it's tough, but I think too, though, that goes back to my other thing about telling you it's a gradual change, because every year I look at our team and I think, okay, I'm ready to progress more to the style that I'd like to play, a little more front foot possession in the opponent's half and doing some different things and not necessarily having to just defend and counter and play long ball and try and out athlete somebody. And I thought we were there last year, and then we played some tougher 5A schools, or, you know, some larger schools, and they kind of tore us up. And so I had to readjust, and we made some changes, and but that got us ready for district and ready for the game against Wimberley. Probably always one of the most competitive games we'll ever play. Our girls have a very, very respectful rivalry with them, and you know, it's always exciting to see. Unfortunately, with that playoff game, you know, we were just I want to say a couple of inches or a couple of minutes short of being able to pull that one out. And so but for us to split with them during the regular season and then have that one end the way it was shows you again how quality each of the programs are and how much they work towards it. But you know, Bernie's at a different level, and we're trying to get there. And, you know, each year I feel like we're improving, and we're ready to challenge. We have fought hard with them for a half or 40 minutes, and, you know, it's about 80 minutes in this game, and we're gonna give them a challenge and a run for their money this year, I hope.
You know, and it also speaks, it's a testament to, again, your program and how far you've come from the standpoint of, I remember when we first met, you were fighting. It was a fight just to make the playoffs. Right. And that was, and that said a lot in itself, but now you're fighting to get into that upper half within your district for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And now here you are making a run three rounds deep into the state playoffs. And, you know, just came within a tight match, as you said, 2-1 in that regional quarterfinal versus Wimberley, who I believe inevitably ended up bowing out to the regional champion in Cal Allen, if I recall correctly on that. Right. So,
yes, sir.
So again, it speaks to, yes, you're right, the strength of the district, but also how far your program has come. The, I was going to say your Lady Billies, one of my favorite mascots in all, you know, a top five mascot maybe in the state of Texas, right? The Battling Billies. So I love that. So a little bit more about last year. You know, we talked about you finished 17-9-5, third place, then make a run three rounds deep into the state playoffs. What from that group, what returns this year that maybe has you excited about this year in terms of a couple of players maybe that you can highlight, Coach?
Yeah, so I think that's probably the most exciting thing, where we had a good quality group of senior leaders and athletes. Those athletes are being replaced with really quality soccer players. So again, where in the past we've had to kind of use physicality or speed and strength, now there's some girls that are here that are ready to use their touch and finesse and move the ball around. So, you know, we lost a really special player that joined us last year, scored 20 goals and had 15 assists for us. So 35 goals from one player is huge. Her sister's going to be on the team. Her sister wants to beat that record. And her sister's going to be a junior this year. And as a sophomore, it's Abby Mahalik. And man, she was tearing it up last year as a sophomore. And so I think she's going to try to at least outscore and potentially even out assist her sister this year and then move forward and potentially even set a school record if she can do it for two more years. You know, we've got some senior leadership in the midfield. I have a young lady who has had to play defensive mid for us for a few years. She's excited about an opportunity to kind of move into an attacking mid role. She's great with distribution. Avery Simler, just great eyesight and vision. You know, not necessarily the fastest player, but she lets the ball do the work for her. And so I'm excited about that. I'm really hoping that another senior, Amy Pica, who had been attacking on the right wing for us for years, then in district when we needed it, volunteered to go back into the goal to provide us with some more stability there. She's going to be back in the field as another threat for at least 10 assists and 10 goals is what she had done her sophomore year. So we're hoping that she can definitely up that and double that. But so I'm excited about our attacking options. I feel like that's going to be phenomenal. And we've got a couple of freshmen that are really pushing. I think that's it's honestly been a unique challenge for me because I've got some juniors and sophomores that worked really hard that were on the varsity squad last year, and these freshmen are either surpassing them or really pushing them. And so Ellie Saracen has played for the ODP program in Stysa, and so excited about her and look forward to seeing her play some UIL soccer. And we've got some young ladies that one young lady in particular has been asked to play against boys for the last 3 years. And so her speed of play is pretty fast since she's playing against those guys. And so I think that's where she's going to be able to step into that holding mid role and do really well for us. But it's going to be a challenge because the midfield of Bernie and Wimberley has a lot of pace. And Davenport has a special midfield player as well that can score from anywhere. So asking a freshman to step up to that challenge is going to be big. But, you know, that's the thing about the Battling Billies is we're ready for any fight. And those girls are going to get stuck in and do what's necessary.
Well said. And, yeah, just it further speaks to the strength of the district, because I can tell you, I'm not very far at all from Davenport, and I can tell you they're going to be solid. They're going to be a solid, which I know you already know. But all right, Coach. So tell us a little bit more. I know you have next month. You have coming up your what is that? Is that seventh year, eighth year, or no sixth? No, probably one year behind what you're probably seventh, right?
Yeah, so it's the seventh year. Yeah, seventh annual. Year.
So the seventh annual Fredericksburg High School Hill Country Winter Classic, which I believe is, you know, one of the better under, I don't know, just doesn't get enough of the love in terms of one of the better tournaments across the state. You know, we've been attending, you know, I had attended, you know, it's such a good tournament. I've attended with two programs, right? So both with St. Mary's Hall. And then of course, couple years when I was in El Paso with Isleta, I got to, you know, we got to partake in pre-COVID, obviously, the tournament with my Isleta girls as well. And it's been a phenomenal tournament. Your staff, your crew, you guys do a phenomenal job hosting the tournament. Tell us a little bit more details about who's going to be in the field this year, the dates, anything you can share with us about that tournament this year.
Yeah, so our tournament, we kind of had stuck to a typical weekend for a while, and we're trying to do that. And one year we got stuck without having any workers, because prior to that, it had always fallen with the same weekend as the Gillespie County Livestock Show and Rodeo. And so when we do that, our school is out. And so I have plenty of people that can come and help. And that was just crazy that year we had to do it without any help. And so I've had to kind of tweak it a little bit. I've tried to tell the rodeo people, hey, look, you know, UIL dates shift a little bit. Can y'all just make sure it's always this? But unfortunately, so it kind of rotates between the first tournament weekend and the second tournament weekend, depending on when that livestock show and rodeo is. But, you know, each year at the very beginning, it was really pretty cool because we were able to take some premier private schools and some pretty good 4A or some smaller 5A schools and have a really, really cool competitive tournament between public and private schools and to get in there and, you know, see the difference of the programs, but also be able to get a high level of play that I think benefited everyone. What was really neat, you know? And so at that point in time, I know you guys were rocking and rolling towards the top of y'all's division. OLH came in there for a while and had a couple of good years. Ended up pushing and winning TAPS one of those years. And then, you know, we were able to get Stephenville to come down after one of their state championship runs and they keep returning from the 4A level. And so, you know, COVID kind of put a hindrance in that, but it was really cool prior to that when you guys were able to bring the two El Paso schools all the way in and just again to see different style, meet those young ladies who just the compassion that they shared for each other and showed each other and the friendships that our girls were able to build over just a 3-day period was really, really, really cool to see that. But so this year back full. Unfortunately, I guess I need to say this, the district has been so positive at supporting us and not necessarily caring whether the tournament made or lost money or whatever. They just cared about us being able to bring other teams in and see the community and play the game. Unfortunately though, we haven't been able to repair a couple of our auxiliary fields. And so that limits our ability to get the number of games in that I'd like. And so hopefully either the city fields are going to be able to be built within a year or so, or maybe we can get some repairs done to our field and get this thing going again. But this year I'm excited. We've got a brand new program. Hondo has just started soccer and they're going to come up and participate in it. And then we've got quite a few of the Austin ISD schools coming and a few of the San Antonio ISDs coming. We've lost a lot of our private schools because, again, last year COVID kind of changed a lot of things with how TAPS was going, how UIL was going. And so everybody trying to kind of make adjustments this year. I'm hoping that next year, again, St. Mary's will be able to come back. KIPP is, I believe, the only one. Well, KIPP and Fort St. Houston Cole. You know, and those guys are in a really unique situation where they're at. I don't think they're actually TAPS or UIL, but they're the only two actually coming out this year that aren't part of a public school system. But I'm hoping that we can kind of return things back to that kind of split field between public and private and mix those brackets up. And I like doing that because I don't like us having to play district opponents. I don't like you guys having to play district opponents, but I like you getting to see potential playoff matchups and things like that. And so, you know, it's a way for that very first week of UIL soccer for us to get high levels of competition. It's a way for you guys with TAPS to get high level of competition right before I believe y'all's district play starts. And so, that's what I enjoy the most about it is just getting teams together to play. You know, and have fun. And so luckily almost every year the weather's worked out. We've had a couple of weather delays and a couple of hard freezes. But we're praying for great weather again this year and look forward to it. So
yeah, you know, when I was at St. Mary's Hall the first time, we used to always say our outlook going to your tournament was okay. We headed down it was a 3-day cycle, right? It was going to be just one absolutely gorgeous day, one cold day, you know, dare I say, maybe close to freezing day, and then just one random off the wall, you know, Wendy, or I remember one year, I think it was, I believe, I can't remember. I think it was the 16-17 year. We played, played Wimberley in the final, and it was in the super, super thick fog. Do you remember that? You know, and
yes, yeah,
I think, I don't think you could see more than about maybe if you were lucky 15 yards. So it's always,
yeah.
It's this interesting mix. And just because of where Fredericksburg is located, I think it's just, it's a great setting, you know, the area there, the hospitality, you know, we've received with multiple programs, as I stated, the city of Fredericksburg, you know, the people there, Fredericksburg ISD, Fredericksburg High School, just phenomenal. And cannot commend you guys enough. So for those of you listening, please consider that in the future, because it's a great, they do a great job putting on that tournament. Again, that's the Fredericksburg High School Hill Country Winter Classic. One quick question on that, Coach. Any testimony or thoughts or things that you've noticed over the years with the tournament when you step back and look at it from where it started to now? Obviously, besides the – I know COVID played a factor, but besides that.
Yeah, you know, I think that's also kind of a measuring stick that I've used for our program. You know, I think a lot of, I don't know, but I think sometimes people host a tournament with the intention of trying to win their own tournament. And that's never been my intention. My intention has been to bring top quality opponents here for our community to see what quality soccer looks like. And then for us to be able to use it as a measuring stick and to see where we were at. And so, you know, for us to be left out of the championship game for the first couple of years was tough to be able to try and make it into that championship game. Last year was a COVID year. I know, I mean, it was, you know, unique, but it was a great opportunity for us. But I think, too, though, that, you know, seeing how the first couple of years it was JV and varsity, just to kind of make a full field, and we were have a varsity game and then a JV game in between on the turf, and then a JV game out on the grass while a varsity game was on the turf, right. To where it's grown to where, you know, unfortunately for those JV kids, we're not able to have those sub varsity games because of the number of teams that want to come here. And again, just the community support, the cool factor of being able to come, and parents enjoy being able to visit some of the local wineries and agriculture things that are going on, and walk up and down Main Street and check out the history of one of the older settlements in the state, and to see just again the quality of person that's here. It's really neat. And just exciting though to get other people out here. And I really do though need to give a shout out to my assistant Amy Yost and her husband, who have smoked pork loin and other barbecue and keep the refs happy and the coaches happy during that time. I think that's been probably some of the bigger success too is the hospitality booth and our for such a small town, for us to have such awesome culinary opportunities, and those restaurants kind of participate and try and say, hey, here's something here. If they're not able to donate, they'll give us something at a discount, and we're able to say, hey, look, you might want to take your players here. It's good quality food. You know, and Chicken Express really supports our program. But again, I know we don't want to go and eat fried food all the time, especially, you know, while we're in the middle of a 3-day tournament. And so we're able to turn around and say, hey, here's some really quality people, quality food that can help keep your athletes healthy while you're here. And and the hotels in the B&Bs, Stephenville's trying something unique this year. We've got so many B&Bs out there. They're actually renting a large house and using it as a team building activity. Come and stay together. I don't know if I could survive with 24 girls under the exact same roof, but you know,
I guess that's when you know you've arrived, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Or it's time to retire. When are the, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I couldn't agree with you more, Coach. It's a great place. I love the area, and obviously I'm not, you know, and you and I, we've spoken offline. I don't exactly live too far where I'm situated. Mm-hmm. I don't live very far from you at all. So yeah, just a big hill. We live within the hill country area ourselves, you know, far southern stretch of the hill country, if you will. But yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. All right, Coach, so as we start to transition here, tell us, I guess, a little bit, what can we expect from the Lady Billies this season?
I can tell you what I hope.
There you go.
I hope, again, that we continue to grow from where we were last year. I'm ready to get out, and we're going to put forth as much energy and effort into pressing and winning the ball in the opponent's half and keeping it in the opponent's half. You know, in the end, the objective is to score more goals than the other team. But I take it a lot easier when the ball's in the other half than when it's in our own half and we're having to defend. So, you know, we're working to, again, as a group to grow and understand. And I think when you watch us, you're not going to see a single player, chasing after a ball. It's going to be a pack. It's going to be, you know, I know we're not the wolf pack, but it's going to be a pack of goats running after you or something, just ready to get after it. And, but these young ladies have already put in just so much work in the off season, and then this last week, we just ended yesterday with just 2 20-minute half scrimmages, and man, they were getting after each other. And nice. So they're ready to get this season started. We'll scrimmage on this coming Friday. We'll go to Burnett, another potential 4A contender that has had some really good teams in the past, and I think they're going to give us a good measure of where we're at. But again, I'm hoping one of the things that I struggle with as a coach is how to deal with speed. And so I try to put as much speed out there on the field as I can. And I think I've got a lot of speed this year. And so hopefully, nice. Hopefully we can do what we need to do to utilize that and capitalize on that.
Yeah, you'll have to send me that schedule if it's finalized. I definitely would love to, you know, unfortunately, we can't partake in your tournament this year because of our mm-hmm. district schedule. Because, you know, obviously it works out a little different on the TAP side versus on the UIL side. So a bit unfortunate, but still, you'll definitely have to send me that schedule because I definitely need to make it up there to watch you all play. And
One of the premier matches is going to be between Austin McCallum and Stephenville. That one's going to start at 11:45 on that Thursday, the 6th. You know, those two top teams, McCallum, of course, a higher classification and a really tough district in that Austin area. And then Stephenville coming down and hoping to continue to do what they've been doing in 4A for a long time. Right. So, excited about that. And, you know, I'm excited about Fredericksburg's opportunity to end the tournament playing Hondo for us. Again, I know it's a new program to UIL, but I learned a long time ago when Burnett came down here and Wes Strahan brought them down saying he was just trying to get 11 girls to run in the same direction that sometimes coaches might mislead you just a little bit as far as what they're going to bring to the field, because I'm pretty sure Burnett beat us in that game because we weren't ready for a brand new program to have that. So, you know, that's the thing about playing a new program like Hondo, who knows what they're going to bring, but I think it's a great opportunity for them. So,
yeah. And it just further speaks to the growth of the game here in Texas. And, you know, another one that I'll mention, I don't know if you want to say worth recommending maybe, but one that I'll mention, that another 4A that's starting this year, very similar to, I guess, maybe Hondo as far as just resources, where they're getting started, entering at the 4A level as well, is out in, I guess, the far, far, far rural suburbs of El Paso is Fabens. I don't know if you've heard of them. Fabens High School.
No.
Fabens. They launched their new program this year as well. So definitely love to see that. So, all right, Coach, I know you're going to stay with us for our counterattack segment where we get to pick on you a little bit, make fun of you, have some fun with you a little bit, ask you some random off the wall questions. Are you ready? You ready so we can pick on you a little bit here?
I'm ready.
Let's do it. All right. Awesome. So, first question I usually ask this one to definitely to all coaches. So any training session or game day superstitions or rituals?
Oh, man. I know that game days, my assistant always brings gum for me because she knows I'm going to need it. And so I have gum. One of the other things, though, that we started that's kind of a weird deal, never did this on the boys' side. Then on the girls' side, realized, okay, maybe this is something we need to do. I don't care if we're going an hour or 3 hours. We stop and we get off the bus at whatever that halfway point is. And I get some hot Cheetos and a Coke Zero just to make sure I'm ready and awake. So
there you go. Yeah. Awesome. I like that. I'm part of that. I'm part of that gum fraternity, that gum coaching fraternity as well. I probably go game day. I probably go through probably an extra 4 or 5 on a game day, maybe. Than the usual amount I go through. So, but we won't mention that. So, all right. Yeah. Emojis or GIFs. I'm not sure what you call those. Are you emojis or GIFs? What's your take on that? Which one are you?
I think I'm probably going to have to be a GIF person. I mean, I've got the keyboard downloaded on my iPhone, so I'm ready to throw one anybody's way anytime. So,
what's your go-to? You have a go-to, one that you realize you use a lot?
No, I don't. I try and mix them up as much as I can. I know that I do have a friend. She's got one specifically dedicated to that's the Logan GIF. And so anytime I impart some of my wisdom on that group, she just throws that one out there at me. And it's pretty funny. But
Nice. I like it. All right. Something, and you can't say go pick up trash either, Coach. Something you wish you would have been told entering coaching.
Something I wish I would have been told entering in coaching. Oh, man. Golly, that one's a tough one. I think that I wish I would have been told, at least here in Fredericksburg, that it's not just about coaching. I mean, you got to design T-shirts. You got to do all these other things that I'm not in it for that. You know, I'm in it for the girls. I'm in it for the sport and I'm in it for soccer, but there's just more to it. And so I guess that's the piece of advice that I think somebody needs to impart to anybody that's getting into coaching. It's not going to just be about the sport. It's going to be about the entire process, the entire team. And, that's probably what I would have liked to have known.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a great point. That's really the first time someone's actually hit on it, at least during this segment. You know, it's so much more than X's and O's and coaching. But the reality of it is easy to say, right? I know you hit on something there that I'm not in it for that. But the reality of it is if you're in it for your team, you're in it for your kids, that's just a part of it, right? That's just a part of being in it for them. So from fundraising, T-shirts, you name it. I mean, you're over there driving buses. God bless you. You know, all kinds of things. So, so that's well said. Very well said. All right, next one. Favorite movie quote. See if I stump you on this one.
Oh, my gosh. Favorite movie quote.
Right, one that comes to immediate mind.
Goodness gracious. I should have prepared better for this section for sure.
Is there one you find yourself saying a lot, maybe?
No,
sure, I mean, that is.
Yeah, I know. That's the biggest thing is what's exactly. Which one's appropriate and different things. I'll say this has probably got to come from a movie. It's something I use with the girls all the time. It's not about if you're going to get knocked down. It's about how you get up. You know, and so I don't know if that's from a Rocky or from something, but that's potentially there. But unfortunately, since you asked that question, something my uncle imparted some knowledge on me back when I was probably just 8 years old. He made me watch a little Dirty Harry. And so that's where I'm like, man, it's a 40 caliber handgun, the most powerful handgun in the world. And you got to ask yourself, do you feel lucky? You know? And so, well, do you, punk? So, you know, that's where I'm like, gosh, dog, that's stuck in my head right now. So,
that's a Dirty Harry quote. That's a first on the 50/50 podcast. I love that. I love that. Awesome. All right. So next one. One thing, you are made the czar of soccer in America tomorrow, right?
Okay.
First thing you're doing, what's one thing you would immediately change in soccer in America tomorrow?
Man, I want to get a ball in every kid's home. And I get it. I'm going to maybe lose some people on the 50/50 podcast because, you know, we're all entitled to our own opinions and different things. But I truly feel like we're all inherently born with a desire to win. And I don't think that that the developmental age should just be about winning. I think it's got to be about those kids having fun so that they'll continue to do it, you know, and having fun is winning. I mean, it's not fun to lose. But we've got to figure out a way to where instead of parents caring about putting trophies up in their rooms, or their closets to get it to where, every kid wants to say, man, I want to go play soccer. I want to go play soccer today. Dad, mom, let's go outside. Let's kick a ball around. And so if I was a soccer czar, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make practices, U.S. soccer stuff. Again, I know every coach wants their team to be technically able to do the things they need to do. But my friend and I have been trying to preach to our coaching buddies, hey, when they're together with a group, you need to play because the technical things they can do on their own. You know, but, and if they enjoy playing, they're going to do those things on their own and do a TikTok challenge, say, hey, dribble through these cones or do this move or, you know, do that and record it. And, they can do that at home, but when they're there with you, use that time for them to play as a team and have fun as a team. And so I think that would be my number one objective. Again, getting a ball in everybody's home, but then making sure that practices are about building the team and doing some team things. So.
Nice. Very good. Very good. I love that one. All right. Next one. Who would play you in a movie? I don't know. You can't say Clint Eastwood either there, coach.
Okay. No, no.
Who would play you in a movie?
I think a younger Bruce Willis could play me maybe in a movie.
Oh, okay. Nice.
No, I don't know.
I don't mind it. That's good. I like, hey, you came out with that one quick. I don't know. I like that. Right. You said that with confidence too. You said it with confidence. Yeah, I like that.
Well, I've tried to tell people my modern day actor is Jason Momoa, but they don't see a lot of similarities between the two of us right now. So
that is the Aqua. No, not Aquaman. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Aquaman. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I tend to remember him more from Game of Thrones, but
you know,
he wasn't around very long, like most people in Game of Thrones. Right. So,
But if I took my shirt off, we're like brothers. I mean, that's what that one is.
All right. I think we're going to just conclude the podcast on that. Right. All right. Next one, bucket list destination. Place you and the family, you and the wife need to go. Place you need to go before it's a wrap.
You know, I've told my wife that we missed out on a great opportunity because of COVID. My friends and I were going to go over and watch Stoke City, Leeds, and Liverpool all on a weekend. And so one of my bucket list things is going to be able to go back over to the UK. And I want to watch some championship soccer, some Premier League soccer. We honestly enjoy traveling. We've tried to instill that with my kids, but and so we've been to the UK a few times. But I want to go to these venues. I want to go with my friend, lifelong friend Gareth Glick, who is from Yorkshire, and sit there with him and his family as they chant for Leeds United, and just to take that all in and breathe that all in. That's on my bucket list.
Nice. That's well said. Yeah, definitely. I got to do a lot of that, luckily, while I was on Uncle Sam's time stationed overseas. So I'm grateful for that. So I don't yet definitely get over there. and try to get over there more than once. That's what I would recommend. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
All right, coach. So during this time, you know, I guess you can say we're maybe kind of sort of transitioning out of a pandemic. I'm not entirely sure where we are, but here we are almost 24 months in, but we've all had at some point some significant amount of downtime, if you will, to do some binge watching as far as series, Netflix, what have you. What's been your favorite series that you've been able to kind of binge watch during, if you go back to February, March of 2020 to now?
I've binge watched everything on Apple TV. I get really disappointed that it's so long in between their seasons with things. Which one is my favorite? I guess I'll go with this, you know, and it's probably cliche, but I got to give a shout out to Ted Lasso. That's a great, no matter if we agree with it or we don't agree with it, it's great publicity and marketing. My wife loves it. She has a big laugh during it. And so, you know, it's brought happiness and laughter into our lives in a time of isolation and divisiveness. And so I think that's the cool part about that. I'm normally like an action person. So, you know, there would be something else I'd watch on a regular basis, but I like Ted Lasso right now. So.
Yeah, it's definitely the hot one right now for sure. Yeah. Great series. Yeah. Great series. All right. Morning or night person?
Ooh, my wife she would have already answered you and said morning. I think I'm a morning person by necessity. I would love to be a night person, but I've also tried to raise my family to understand that we celebrate the Nova Scotia New Year, so we cut it off early. And my 10-year-old was asking, she was like, "Hey, I've heard that it's a tradition that some people stay up till midnight on New Year's Eve. Can we do that?" And I was like, "No, we don't do that in this house." So I guess I'll have to say I'm a morning person. I would love to sleep in sometimes, but I got to get up and get the day going and done and try and relax in the afternoons. So.
Right. Awesome. And our last question here, this one I definitely ask to just pretty much everybody is Sunday dinner. You're the shit, you know, at some point you're able to, we transition out of this, you know, whatever we're in terms of the pandemic, but you got family, friends, everyone is coming to your place. Sunday dinner, you're the chef. What are you cooking?
Well, we actually have kept something going through the pandemic. And so I like to keep it going. We get outside. We go out. My wife has some family property there in Blanco, just north of San Antonio. Nice. And we boil crawfish or shrimp or whatever we're going to boil, and we hang out and just have a good time. And so I think I will cook anything as long as people come. That's kind of my favorite thing to do, is to feed people, keep people happy, and have a big group together. My wife always says, you know, you do this for your birthday. And I was like, well, you know, what can I do for your birthday? And I said, this is it, man. Yeah. Me being able to see people, to catch up with my friends through high school, college, and different things. That's what I enjoy about life, is just people getting together and having fun. And, you know, again, I kind of hope that as a society, we can get back to that and have start to enjoy each other's company more again, and not be so divisive on things. Just go and hang out and eat some crawfish and have a beverage. So,
yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, for sure. Completely agree with that. Well said. You know, for our listeners everywhere, yes, this is pretty much Coach Minshew. What you see is authentic, very much just like a lot of the people that we've met and come across, and having spent significant amount of time up in the Fredericksburg community, very much salt of the earth people, great people. And Logan as well, Coach Minshew, you know, this has been great. Can't tell you how great it is to have you on here. We appreciate you. Any final words for us?
No, I just want to say thank you to you and your sponsors. I mean, I think one of the challenges has been how do we, you know, get rural communities to understand what's going on with soccer. They've had something that's called Coffee with Coach out here for a long time. We got tennis coaches going, we got football coaches going, volleyball coaches going, and we don't ever have soccer coaches going. And I'm like, how do I get going to this, or how do I get this going? And so I can't thank you enough for getting this going, to promote the sport, to promote our kids. They are some of the most hardworking and well-deserving student athletes that I think anyone will ever meet. And so the more recognition that they can get, the better. So I thank you so much for that. So
absolutely, definitely worth it. And we appreciate you, everything you're doing there, Coach. And it goes without saying, way over the recognition in terms of how far you've come and where you, more importantly, where you're headed, where you have that program headed, I think is something for many people across this state to keep an eye on, for sure. So keep up the great work. Can't thank you enough for being here again, as well for, you know, for once again, for our sponsors, College Promoters USA, grateful to them again. We're powered by College Promoters USA, America's premier college prep program and high school student athlete marketing service since 1997. You can find them again, social media. You can find them on Twitter at SATX Recruiting, as well as on Instagram at College Promoters USA, as well as on their website at collegepromotersusa.com. So for Coach Minshew, for our sponsors, College Promoters USA, and most of all for our listeners, the reason why we do it, our supporters, thank you for everything you do in support of not only our podcast, but more importantly, the game here, growing the game here in Texas high school soccer. And again, continue to grow as we transition into the start of, obviously, TAPS private schools already in season. And as we begin to transition into season for UIL, continue to help grow that hashtag, the hashtag TXHSSOC for Texas high school soccer. So until the next time, our listeners, you know what to do. Keep downloading and keep listening.